When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gut punched, Alzheimer's, and caregivers. Navigating the insidious illness of Alzheimer's is something nobody asks for. The disease sneaks up on you and your loved one, and it feels like you've been sucker punched in the gut. Then you ask, where do we turn for help? Who do we call? What do we do? These questions and more are what we hope to answer and give you some direction and hope. Now let's join our host, Jeff Edwards.
Greetings and welcome to Gut Punched. I'm Jeff Edwards, your host. Glad to have you along. Hope you're having a great day. What does gut punch mean? Well, you know what it means. It's when you get that feeling in your gut, when somebody gives you some devastating bad news, you kind of go, oh, you cringe. That's what you're physically affected by the information. And that's kind of what happens when somebody tells you your loved one or a relative or a family member has Alzheimer's. And what is Alzheimer's? You say, well, it's a disease, is the most common form of dementia, a progressive brain disease that slowly destroys memories and thinking skills. And it takes a while, and it's devastating. And what are caregivers? Well, caregiver is essential to the loved one who is going through it. It's like a whole new world for you. It's a full-time and then some type of a job. And caregivers can be spouses or partners, adult children, parents, other relatives like siblings, aunts or nieces and nephews, et cetera, friends and neighbors. And whatever your relationship with the person you're caring for, it's important that you add the title caregiver to the list of things you are. It's a journey, and it's got lots of bumps and lots of bruises. And people go, why are you doing this? Well, this is not necessarily a fun thing. We're not playing music and telling jokes or doing the news. The purpose is to deal with caregivers. When you have a loved one that you have to take care of, your life changes drastically. That's what I've been through. My wife is still doing okay. She was diagnosed back in 2018. And I have a plan and I have a journey, and that's kind of what I do. So the biggest thing for us and for a lot of people is when you get gut punched, you go, what the heck do I do now? And that's where this topic, this discussion of gut punch is coming from, because there's a lot of ways you can get help, but you don't know about it. You don't know where to go. And that was what I had to go through. And a lot of people go through, where do I go? Well, I was fortunate. I live in Fort Myers, Florida, and there's a great center called the Dubin Center. And it's local, and the resources are tremendous. And from there, we kind of grow. So I wanted to be able to share what I've learned and what other people have learned. We're going to talk to all kinds of people. And today, we're going to take a little bit of a turn, and we're going to talk about definitions to start with, because it ties in with my guest today. Dementia, it's not a specific disease. It's a descriptive term for a collection of symptoms that can be caused by a number of disorders that affect the brain. And people with dementia have significantly impaired intellectual functioning that interferes with normal activities and relationships. They lose their ability to solve problems and maintain emotional control. They may experience personality changes and behavioral problems such as agitation, delusions, and hallucinations. Now, while memory loss is a common symptom of dementia, memory loss by itself does not mean a person has dementia. Doctors diagnose dementia only if two or more brain functions, such as memory and language skills, are significantly impaired without loss of consciousness. And one of the interesting things, there are 27 different dementias, Alzheimer's being like the number one, and then they go down. And we'll get into them in just a little bit. That's the reason for my guest today, because I learned about what he went through. He'll share some of his story. Recent studies have found that newer brain scans may point to other causes of dementia in approximately one-third of presumed AD cases, thereby helping avoid an Alzheimer's disease misdiagnosis, which may lead to better treatment and care. And a fundamental concept to grasp is that symptoms of dementia often go beyond memory loss. They can include significant shifts in mood or falls, disturbed gait, and that's how we walk, and other ones. In addition, hallucinations, delusions, and paranoia are not uncommon. When you go, whoa, okay, 27 different forms of dementia, Alzheimer's being the number one. Alzheimer's disease begins slowly. It first involves the parts of the brain that control thought, memory, and language. People with Alzheimer's may have trouble remembering things that happened recently or the names of people they know. A related problem called mild cognitive impairment, MCI, causes more memory problems than usual for people of the same age. In Alzheimer's, over time, symptoms get worse. People may not recognize family members or have trouble speaking, reading, or writing. They may forget how to brush their teeth or comb their hair. And later on, they may become anxious or aggressive or wander away from home. Eventually, they need total care. And this can cause great stress for family members who must care for them. You, the caregiver. There you go. Alzheimer's usually begins after the age of 60, and the risk goes up as you get older. Your risk is also higher if a family member has had the disease. No treatment can stop the disease. However, some drugs may help keep symptoms from worsening for a limited time. Some of the different forms of dementia, we mentioned mild cognitive impairment, MCI, Alzheimer's disease, mixed dementia, vascular dementia, young onset dementia, Lewy body dementia, which is LBD, frontal temporal dementia, or some people call it frontal temporal degeneration, AIDS dementia complex, Huntington's disease with dementia, multiple sclerosis with dementia, Parkinson's disease with dementia, chronic traumatic brain injury, CTE, dementia, traumatic brain injury, TBI with dementia, Down syndrome with dementia, posterior cortical atrophy, PCA, primary progressive aphasia, which is PPA, Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome dementia. And now we're getting to the ones that I'm having a hard time even pronouncing. As you get from this, there's a lot of them, 27 different ones. And it takes some time to figure out what you have. Sometimes there's a lot of misdiagnosis. It's tough. Now, frontal temporal dementia, and the common symptoms include language problems and abnormal behavior in middle age, a loss of sympathy or empathy, repetitive or compulsive ritualistic behavior, uncontrolled or unusual eating, difficulty doing complicated tasks. How does frontal temporal dementia compare with Alzheimer's, you might ask? Well, frontal temporal dementia affects people in the middle ages, not the time period, but their age, middle age, usually between the ages of 45 and 65. Although one quarter of individuals are diagnosed after the age of 65, and Alzheimer's usually affects people over 65. In terms of symptoms, people with frontal temporal dementia experience either language or behavioral problems, whereas people with Alzheimer's disease, the most common cause of dementia, usually have memory problems. Because more than 12 different abnormal proteins can cause frontal temporal dementia, it has a very variable time course. From the time of diagnosis, people with that disease needs a nursing home level care in 2 to 20 years. The typical range with Alzheimer's disease is 4 to 12 years. And who's at risk for the FTD? Well, up to 40% of cases with frontal temporal dementia run in families, but that means at least 60% of cases do not. So you don't know. And what are common signs of the behavioral variant, you might ask? There are 6 common signs of behavioral variant frontal temporal dementia, and most people with the disorder have at least 3 of them. They are loss of self-control, apathy or inertia, not wanting to do anything, loss of sympathy or empathy, repetitive or compulsive ritualistic behaviors, uncontrolled or unusual eating, and difficulty doing tasks. And the reason I bring this up today is because our guest, he has experienced it. He's got a lot of experience with this illness. And he's got a really tremendous story. And I met him through the Alzheimer's Center here in Fort Myers, Florida. He is involved in doing a lot of caregiving and teaching people how to be caregivers, which is what we focus on. His name is Dan Moser, and we'll be talking to him in just a few moments.
We'll be right back to Gut Punched, Alzheimer's and Caregivers.
We've invented cars that drive themselves and 3D printers that build prosthetic arms and legs. We've successfully transplanted hearts and lungs. Now it's time to end Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is on track to cost the nation nearly $1 trillion by 2050. We can either be known for having the most expensive disease in history or for putting an end to it. Ask Congress to join the fight at alz.org/timetoendALZ.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Gut Punched, Alzheimer's and Caregivers.
We've been talking about frontal temporal degeneration, FTD. And with that, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our upcoming guest, Dan Moser. He's an active member in his community, and he has been for years, especially regarding bicycle safety. But the last few years, he's been involved fighting the fight of frontal temporal degeneration. He recently lost his wife less than 5 months ago. And along with being a caregiver, he's been involved in training and teaching others to be caregivers. Now, Dan is going to share his story with us. Tell us about your current activities and how you came to be involved in this frontal temporal degeneration.
Well, it's a long journey that my wife and I went through, starting like 15 years ago plus. I'm a social worker by trade and by profession, so I've been working in the bike injury prevention for bike and pedestrian matters. My wife's a speech therapist, and as we started seeing something going wrong, we started looking into it. I started learning about dementia, and it's just my nature to do that. And then by the end of things, which was just last September, I had been running a support group for frontal temporal for probably 6 years by then, maybe more. Wow. And now in the last year and half year, especially since my wife passed and I don't have the caregiver responsibilities, I've been full-time volunteer pretty much for the Dubin Center here, local provider of services for those with dementia and their families.
And how long were you married to your wife?
We just missed our 33rd anniversary, plus 5 years we had been together prior. So was, you know, over 35. So it was a long time. And so the last 15 or so, we were dealing with that. It wasn't as intense as it gets for anyone. Dealing with dementia, the intensity picks up as the disease progresses. So, things were fairly normal for the first 8 years or so, but then it got to be a whole different animal.
When did you notice changes occurring?
About 2008. Okay. I started seeing that she was I hate to use this term, but she was dumbing down. She's a speech therapist with a master's degree, very intelligent, and all of a sudden she couldn't keep up with just conversations about current events or the news, things we always spoke of.
Right.
And she also stopped recognizing, and not just their faces, but recognizing names of people that we saw, that we knew very well. Mm-hmm. We were in a running community together forever, and a lot of these people we've known for decades. So that was the first signs that prompted us to start looking into it. And probably about 2008, she was 52.
What did you do? I mean, when you noticed all these things starting to happen, did you go to the doctors? Did you, who'd you call?
You know how it is when you're married to somebody for a long time. I was beginning to nag her about doing something. And she was a speech therapist, so she was working in that world of brain-related issues. That's what speech therapy is all about. You know, I thought she wasn't doing anything about it. So finally, in about 2009, I said, hey, what the heck? This is getting bad. You know, you're really not acting normal. She says, oh, I hate to tell you. I didn't tell you. I didn't want to tell you. But I had gone to the memory care for an assessment back a year ago. I said, oh, all right, let me see the report. So I saw the report, and it said, yeah, you got mild cognitive impairment. So I said, we're going back and get an update and go from here. And that's what we did. So we went back to the same Lee Memory Care. And sure enough, it was hadn't progressed much, but it was what they said the first time with a little bit of a progression. But when, you know, you get MRIs, if you can see some atrophy in the brain, which even an MRI can see some gaps and missing parts, you know, they know something's going on that's related to dementia, but it was too soon with the cognitive testing to say it was dementia.
What was your plan of action at that point? You knew something had to be done.
We were trying to count out anything that it might not be. Since they didn't use the word dementia, you know, we tried to make sure, and you know, you start grasping at straws at this point. We checked on everything, and that's what you're supposed to do anyways to make sure it's not dementia, it's something that mimics dementia. That's kind of common. You've got to count all those out, which is what we did. So that took a couple more years. Then we started chasing down studies through the Neuropsychiatric Research Center, that's local here, and Dr. Fred Sheriff, was one of the premier experts in the world, and we had him in our own backyard. Unfortunately, he passed away from ALS himself at a very young age, which, by the way, ALS is a lot of times related and within the dementia family. We did go in there for screenings twice. The first one was they didn't allow her into the study, but they didn't count her out either. So maybe a year and a half later, we went again, and this time they got her way deep into the screening process, which includes a very detailed PET scan that uses like radioactive material. So it's the next best thing to, you know, finding out through autopsy whether you have certain types of dementia. All they can say was, sorry, you can't get in the study. The good news is you don't have Alzheimer's. Bad news is you do have dementia, but we don't know what kind. And our job here is just to screen people for Alzheimer's to get them in the study.
Hey, they're good people. I have taken my wife there too and pretty much was told the same thing.
Yeah.
Good resource if you can qualify for it.
But yeah, the information that came from there was quite helpful. So then our next step was in 2015. This is how long it's been now, Jeff. I mean, you know, 8 to 15 already with no definitive diagnosis. And this is very common with FTD, unfortunately. We went to the Mayo Clinic up in Jacksonville. They did diagnose it. It was pretty clear cut to them. By then, we were on that kind of figure, and that's what it was based on a lot of the stuff and the reading we were doing and everything we were looking into. All signs were pointing to that, and it was semantic variant of frontal temporal dementia, which is also known as primary progressive aphasia. Ironically, for a speech therapist, it was, you know, primary thing was the loss of language.
Yeah, that's important to have.
But it was in one way a blessing in disguise because Maria was a speech therapist and she was really doing speech therapy on herself as this was coming on, in some ways even subconsciously, right? And then when we did get the diagnosis, speech therapy was incorporated into a daily routine. She was not resistant to it, which a lot of times people with dementia, to get them motivated to do these kind of things and the therapies that work, at least to some degree, you can't get them motivated to do it.
No. You're right.
But Maria was completely motivated to do not just that, but anything, all activities that had to do with brain and physical. You know, I said, you're going to have to quit your job as a speech therapist because if you want Social Security disability, you're going to be approved for it, but not if you're working. Plus, she was having trouble by then finding locations, and all the medical reporting at the time in 2015 was switching over to computer and tablets and all. And she wasn't the only one that was having trouble with it. Anybody who was doing old school handwritten reports and then just doing them on a word processor, a lot of people decided that was a good time to retire. Yeah. So she finished up her career right then in 2015. And unfortunately, right at that time, she's running a race. And after the race, it was a night race. So she was doing a few extra miles and it was in the dark. The public works that had closed the roads for races put the barricades up on the sidewalk and she didn't see him and fell and broke her humerus. She had to be wrapped up, no surgery or anything, no head injury, but she had to be wrapped up for 6 weeks. And that did not, you know, that didn't help the situation when you're, now you know you've got a certain type of dementia, you're bummed out, you're forced to retire, and now you have an injury. And for an athlete to be sidelined like that, you know, she got pretty bummed out. Not depressed, but bummed out about it.
Yeah, and, it that's hard to do when you know you can, you think you still can do it and you want to do it, but you can't.
Yeah, well, she knew what her limits were there. I mean, she was wrapped up tight for, I mean, I even drove her around to her last couple of patients as she was winding down, because literally, you know, all this happened right at the time of her diagnosis. Within weeks of the diagnosis, the race occurred and the injury occurred.
What resources did you find helped you, and were they helpful?
Oh, we started this quite a while into it. I mean, quite a while back into it, right? I used to, for what's now United Way 211, one of my first human service jobs was AgeLink and HelpLink, and that was the precursor to 211, and it's United Way. It's all the human service information and referral. So I knew what was out there, and one of the big ones was the Dubin Center. It was local, as well as the Alzheimer's Association. And between the two of them, we started looking into right away, meeting with them as a couple, going to trainings about getting your financial house in order, getting your legal house in order while the person can sign legally. Mm-hmm. All kinds of other things, activities they do, and, you know, basically getting you prepared for what's coming. And then there was many of the things were just for me as the soon-to-be caregiver. At the time, I was just, you know, considered a care partner. But eventually, you know, you're going to be the caregiver. So between those two, they were both outstanding. I mean, I got to tell you, unfortunately, the Alzheimer's Association isn't doing any direct services anymore. So locally, it's all on the Dubin Center for anybody that's looking. There's still some support groups from and online resources from the Alzheimer's Association, which, by the way, don't let the name fool you. They handle any kind of dementia, as does the Dubin Center, not just Alzheimer's. So we just, you know, sought out every and anything. As a matter of fact, I'm still part of a circle of friends from the original training that we did probably in, oh my gosh, it's probably 12 years ago that we all took a Savvy Caregiver class. I think there's one person left that has a loved one that is in a facility. All the rest of us have lost our loved one, and it's been that long, but we're sticking together. That's the kind of bond you make sometimes in these support groups.
Yeah, they're very strong.
Yeah.
And I think I've told you, you know, I used to go a lot. I haven't been able to in the last year and a half, probably, but I'm trying to get back to it because I miss the ability to share and also to listen of what other people are going through. And hopefully I'm going to learn something and that I didn't know or hear something. Whoa, I didn't see that, or perhaps this. And that's what I liked about it so much, because when you tell somebody, well, you know, my wife has, in my case, Alzheimer's, and in your case, you know, FTD, they go, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But they don't know what else to say. They don't know what to ask. And it's kind of like it's gone. But when you're in a group, people understand. They know. They know what you're going through. They know what you have to do and what you're going to have to do. And that's part of it's part of what the group thing is. It, you know, if you have, I'm going to say, and as I always say, if you know somebody, and probably you do, or you know somebody who knows somebody, get them hooked up, because it's going to make it easier, as easy as it could be, because it's not easy. And you know what the end's going to be, and just depending on how long it takes you to get to that end. But then you have a support group to help you through it.
Right. And also, hopefully you might move people that are in the group in the right direction if they're resistant to getting help or following through with some kind of a diagnosis. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people that are in these groups that don't really have a diagnosis. And it's in some ways it doesn't matter. And at a certain point, you know, there's no need to keep going back and taking pictures of your brain or even going to a neurologist unless it's about meds for behavior and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point, you do want to know what type of dementia it is, because then you're kind of going to know what you're going to face. I mean, the thing about frontal temporal, I was the youngest person by far in all these groups because it hits people much younger. Pretty rare. The only groups that's not the case is I run frontal temporal support groups. So, but if I go to just a general support group and I run a couple of men's groups, as you know, and we get in the older guys that really and truly can use some prodding to, like, come on, don't try to do this on your own. You need some help. you're going to burn out. What happens then? And if you didn't, and then get them into trainings, the caregiver training, so they know what they're up against. And it's been highly successful all around, especially when you get the guys that maybe wouldn't open up too much in a mixed group or with a female leading the group or something like that that's much younger than them. You know, they may feel a little inhibited at these men's groups. Anything goes as far as talking about things that they might be embarrassed to talk about or whatever, or reluctant at least to talk about. So we're really pleased with how well that's working. And the other thing, it works for the women's groups too. You know, you hate to say, well, separate them. And in many cases, having mixed groups like in the trainings and all is fine. But there's just something about not having to ever hold back on certain things you want to talk about due to maybe embarrassment that you will talk about if it's all the same sex.
I've experienced both just all men and then couples, and then people tend to clam up. I don't have any problems.
Exactly. I mean, and that happens anyways. If you get the couple in there, that one's the caregiver and the other, you know, sometimes the person that's got the disorder isn't going to be acknowledging it or happy to be there.
Definitely.
You know, in other cases, like Maria, she was fine with going to these things, and there was always activities and stuff like that. It was a combination of learning and then sharing. Yeah, so, you know, the resources that are out there, you got to jump on them. And there's so many now that are available online that can't be overlooked, because if you live in a rural area or a place that doesn't have its own Dubin Center, because ours is definitely local, and now that Alzheimer's Association isn't doing the direct services they used to that covered our whole area, you know, the outlying counties and other parts of the state and country don't have the kind of resources we have here in Lee County in Southwest Florida. Collier has a really good one called the Alzheimer's Support Network, which, again, don't let the name fool you. It's any kind of dementia.
I wasn't aware of that one. That's good to know.
Yeah, it's a good one too. It's homegrown. They do a great job.
Did you do right in the circumstances?
Right. Okay.
And then what would you do different if you weren't happy with it?
Boy, maybe I would have, I don't know what difference it would have made, but maybe, you know, the fact that Maria withheld for a year, that she had gotten checked and I didn't know, I mean, maybe I wouldn't have been as frustrated with her. I mean, believe me, and frontal temporal has broken up a lot of marriages. Any dementia could, when you don't understand what's going on, you just think your partner's doing something crazy on purpose.
Yeah.
But this one, if it's the behavioral variant, you know, that one really is crazy. Maria, fortunately, had the semantics, so it wasn't nearly off the rails or anything like that. But I think I would have tried and left the area sooner to get that diagnosis when it became pretty apparent. But when, you know, you look back at timing of how we were chasing it down through the research, we were doing all the right things with two visits to the local memory disorder clinic and then two visits to the research center. I'm not so sure, you know, because these things take time. You know, what I'm hearing now is to get something out of the research, not the research center. You can get the research center really quickly. But if you wanted to get into Lee Memory Care, it's 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
As a first time patient, it's like, well, that's too long to wait, you know. But now there are other physicians in town and neurologists that actually do concentrate on this. But we didn't have that option back then. So I'm not so sure there was a whole lot we did that was a misfire or that we could have done a whole lot better in checking it. You know, Maria being in the medical field and me being in the social work, we kind of were chasing it down appropriately, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It just, these things take time. And it didn't, you know, nothing was going south fast. That was the thing. So there was no big sense of urgency. But believe me, there was a lot of sleepless nights thinking about what, now what? How quick is this going to work? Is it going to be next year, next week? You know, what's happened, what happens next?
It gets you somewhat impatient, too, because it's like, hurry up. This is not getting better. And so let's do it. Now, you had mentioned to me in a conversation, this is what Bruce Willis has been diagnosed
Bruce
with?
Bruce Willis has exactly the primary progressive aphasia, the semantic variant of frontal temporal. You know, it's brought awareness big time. The family was smart. They didn't just go out to the media or didn't slip out. They went to the Association of Frontal Temporal Degeneration, AFTD, and it's theaftd.org is their website. They developed a plan on how they were going to release the information that would benefit both everyone who would potentially have frontal temporal and the family, to protect them a little bit from what was going to be the onslaught of media attention. And it's worked that just exactly that way. The awareness has raised. The organization has gotten more resources because of that. You know, so they're pushing harder for more research, but they're also providing more and more services to people and families with this. You know, that it's unfortunate that it takes someone famous for something like this, but that's how it works. I mean, Ronald Reagan raised awareness for Alzheimer's, Robin Williams for Lewy body, and it can go on and on. Fox, Michael J. Fox for Parkinson's.
He's still hanging in there.
Yes. Yep. And so, you know, it's unfortunate, like I said, but it is what it is. And if it's done properly, it's helpful to the whole world. And it's beyond your lifespan as the person that had to be the sacrificial lamb, you know. And I think that way with Maria, because we donated her brain to research. So between that and all the artwork she did, she's living on, and at least in my mind. I think in beyond that because of the research. And in the research, as a family member of someone whose brain was donated, this is one of the beauties of it. You will get a pathology report that tells you exactly what it was. Really, the only sure way to find out what kind of dementia you had is upon autopsy. And we did get confirmation that it was exactly as it was diagnosed at the Mayo Clinic.
If you had to give somebody advice, what kind of advice would you give them?
I'm one not to say don't hide it from friends and family. I mean, you don't want to broadcast it to the world, but let people know what's going on. So many times people hide it, especially older people from their adult children, and then they're gut punched when they find out mom is not the way it seems on the phone calls that they make to her every week or whatever, because they're faking it.
Yeah, my mother was like that.
Yeah. And that's
a couple
common.
Words here, a couple words there, and okay, everything's good. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, you do want privacy and whatnot, but you got to tell friends and family, I think. And it helped us so much. The other thing is do not wait to start reaching out for help of the type through these agencies, but also physical help in your home. You're going to get resistance usually, and who wants strangers in their house? Nobody. But you know what? It's for the caregiver so they don't burn out too quick and they can continue caring for their loved one, because this stuff has a pretty quick burnout rate, and something like 30% of caregivers pass away before their loved one does. That's for dementia. Well, that's not good.
No, it's not. It's not. No. I do appreciate what you've given us. I know, you know, I've talked, like I said earlier, I'm going to come back to you sometime in the near future and pick your brain about caregiving, because I know you're heavy into that. And that's one of the biggest features that we look at is this is for caregivers.
Sure.
I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on the radio or wherever I am, but to share the information, be a facilitator of the information for people who need some help. And that was, again, going back to the beginning, is that's what I need. Where do I go? What do I do? And that's what we want to address. And I'd like to thank you, Dan, for sharing your story and discussing frontal temporal degeneration. There was a lot of information in here, and we hope that some of our audience will be able to grab onto some of the things, maybe one, maybe more. You have a great rest of the evening, and it was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll be right back to Gut Punched, Alzheimer's and Caregivers.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you the caregiver for someone living with dementia? You're not alone. The Dubin Center in Fort Myers offers free educational classes and support.
The Dubin Center has given me a shoulder to lean on.
Call today or visit us at DubinCenter.com to learn more.
This is Gut Punched, Alzheimer's and Caregivers.
Well, I hope you were able to pick up a couple pointers, some tips, some information that may help you. You know, everybody knows somebody or has somebody who is going through dementia and Alzheimer's. We have a website, gutpunch.com. In upcoming shows, we'll have a lot more links than we started with. As this thing grows, we're meeting a lot of people, people in the health field, doctors, patients, caregivers, and we just want to be able to share the resources with you to help you on your journey. We'll see you soon.
This has been Gut Punched, Alzheimer's and Caregivers, with your host, Jeff Edwards. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe to us on all the platforms like Spotify, Apple, Pandora, and more. If you have a question or want to get in touch, our email is gutpunchedac@outlook.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.